praise you, Jesus. It's not us. It isn't us. It's Christ that's in us. It is Christ that is in us. But let's see what God has for today. First, we are going to see what the world says about Father's Day. What the world says about Father's Day is the United States, Canada, and United Kingdom. Father's Day is celebrated on the third Sunday of June with cards and gifts for dads. We're going around a little bit around the world. We're going to see how it's celebrated in different parts of the world. Okay, this is in June, the third Sunday in June, which is like us. Okay? In New Zealand, Father's Day is celebrated on the first day of spring with cards and gifts, which is the first Sunday of September. So if you lived in New Zealand, you would wait till September to celebrate Father's Day. So happy Father's Day early. In Brazil, let's see when we're going to celebrate. Father's Day is celebrated on the second Sunday of August. Children spending the day writing dad cards and sending letters to their dads or to father figures. Let's go to Spain. Now we're going to go to Spain and Italy. Many Roman Catholic countries, include Spain and Italy, celebrate Father's Day as the feast of Saint Joseph, an annual religion holiday that honors Joseph of Nazareth, Jesus' father, celebrated in March 17th with gifts and cards. Okay, should we keep going? We got a couple more. Let's go. Okay. In Sweden and Norway, Iceland, Father's Day is celebrated on the second Sunday of November. Okay, why? Good thing. This one is a good one. Business advocates for the holiday to be moved, advocate for the holiday to be moved to November. A typical slow month for the economy. So we're going to use that to make money. Woo! That's a good one. Okay, let's go. Now we're going to Germany. Okay, in Germany, Father's Day celebrated on the fourth day of Easter, which always falls on Thursday in May, and is more in most areas of the country, the following Friday is also as well. So they celebrate for 4 days with outdoor games and activities. Okay, we got two more to go. Okay, Thailand. Thailand celebrates Father's Day on December 5th. Now you really gotta wait. On December 5th, children hand out candles, lights to their fathers and grandfathers. We have one more, and this one really, really took my eye. And this is Russia. Russians, Father's Day began as a military holiday. Because of this military route, the holiday is known as Defender of the Fatherland Day. That's February 23rd. Does that ring a bell? What happened on February 24th? Okay, with parades, that many of the men participate in. So that Father's Day last year, at the beginning of the year, they had Father's Day on the 23rd, not realizing that they were going to go to war the next day. I thought that was really amazing. And by next year, this time, some of those dads are not going to be there. Hopefully they are, but this war is not. But let's go ahead. Let's leave that there. Just trying to take you around the world a little bit. I thought everybody had Father's Day today, but that is not true. Now we found out. And I didn't go through all of them. I just gave you a little bit. Okay, so let's see what the Bible says about fathers. Let's put this together and let's see what happens. Okay? Fathers. A father is supposed to be the head of the household and leads his family, his wife, and kids to God and make sure Jesus is in the household and is the most important thing in that household. It's the father's job. Sorry to put it that way, but it's the father's job to be the head of the house. That's where God put you. God put you there. No one else put you there. God put you as the head of the house. And with that, you have a job. You have a position. You have authority to show God. No, you cannot show God as in go to church and you sit home. Because the kids are going to remember what you do, not what you say. That's just the way it is. We all remember. We don't remember what people say. We remember what they do. Okay? Because they see you every day. They're reading the Bible. And they're reading the Bible in your life. That's the Bible they read. In Proverbs, it also says, start a child off in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. We have to start the children off. When they're small, you dress them up, take them to church. Take them to church. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I know nowadays you're supposed to ask the children, would you like to go to church? No. The Word of God says, take them to church. Show them the way. But you have to understand that you're taking them, meaning you're going too. You're not sending them. You're going there too, because the Bible they're going to read is you. Remember that. If you don't remember nothing else, remember the Bible that the child reads is you. Okay. But Psalms, in Psalms 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. The word fear in here is not to be afraid, but to have reverence. Have respect to God. And you show that to the children. When you pray, tell them, stop for a minute. Children, don't stop. Stop for a minute. We're going to pray. Because that shows reverence. That shows respect to God. Okay, but now let's see what Jesus says about a father. We're going a little bit deeper on this. Okay? In Isaiah, we're gonna see what Isaiah tells us. And in Isaiah it tells us. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Okay? It was your weakness he carried. Who are we talking about? Who? who are we talking about? Here, this is in the Old Testament, and this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is caring. Like, why did Jesus, what did the Father do? This Father, that our Heavenly Father, how much does He love us? I want to know. Dad, how much does God really love me? Does He really love me? Maybe He doesn't. Okay? But we're going to find out how much God really loves us. Okay? It was our weakness He carried. It was our sorrow that weighed Him down. And though His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. Oh, punishment for His own sins? We know at the beginning it tells us that He carried our sins. The Bible tells us that He had no sin. He did it perfectly. But it was our weakness He was carrying. It was our weight that weighed on Him and held Him down. But He was pierced for our rebellion. Jesus was pierced for our rebellion, not for His rebellion. That answers the question. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for His sins? No. He was crushed, it tells us right here. It tells us He was crushed for our sins. For our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. He suffered all this. How much does God love us? The question is, how much? This tells us how much He loves us. This tells us that He did all this for us. God did this for us. God actually punished Jesus for what we did. We're the ones that have sin. Jesus doesn't have the sin. We're the ones that have the sin. We're the ones that are rebellious. If Jesus would have been rebellious, He wouldn't have went to the cross. We wouldn't have salvation. But Jesus is not rebellious. He went to the cross. He went to the cross. And He went to the cross without saying anything. Could He have opened His mouth if He would have wanted to? The answer is probably yes, He could have. But He would have. And yes, they would have came to rescue Him. The Bible says that as soon as they put their hands on Him, all of heaven's army stood up. They were ready. But Jesus knew that if He opened His mouth, He would be rescued. But if He would be rescued, we would not have salvation. So He was not rebellious like we are. He was not rebellious. He did it the way God wanted Him to do. He did it the best way. And the best part of the whole thing is, He did it complete. So when you ask God for something, to heal you of a little cut, He did it complete. He can heal that. But what about something bigger? He did it complete. The word complete, it is finished. He said it through His mouth. It is finished. It is complete. So there wasn't anything left out. He was beaten. He was whipped. Everything was done exactly the way it was supposed to be done. It was complete. Now are we starting to understand how much God loves us? He's our Father. He really does love us. What does Jesus say about His Father? Now, let's see what Jesus says about His Father. And for that, we're going to go to John. John 14, 18 through 11. And this is when when Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said, he probably hit his head and said, Philip, come on. Can't you see? But let's see what the scripture says, okay? Jesus said, have you been with me for so long a time and you do not know me yet? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So if Jesus loves you, if Jesus can do it, so can the Father. They're two the same. So Philip, if you see me, you've seen the Father. We're going to go a little bit more than that. Philip, nor recognize clearly who I am? You can't. There's still scales on Philip's eyes. He doesn't connect the dots right there. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The two are together. So if we can see Jesus, we can see the Father. If you can see the miracles that Jesus does, if God did a miracle for you, you saw him. I know he's a spirit, I know, but you could see that what he can do. The same way the wind is. You can't actually see the wind, but you can see what the wind does. If the wind is strong enough, yes, it can take this building down. If the wind is strong enough, it can. But you can't see the wind, but you can see what it does. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word I say to you, I do not do his work, his miracles and acts of power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. As we read the Bible, we can see. As we read the Bible, when I read this, I am going to tell you what came to my mind. But there are times that a father will do something all of a sudden. There's times that a father will move or do something. If they ask him at work, can you stay a couple of hours, he'll say yes. Because he knows that if he stays a couple of hours, he knows that that will be more money, more finances to help his family. Okay, so there's things that a father will do. If a child goes in the middle of the street, a father will run and pick up that child. Or scream something to save that child's life. Where I see this is for the things that I do, the miracles and the power that you do, is remember it, and it's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus fed the 5,000, I would say 500, but it's not 500, it's 5,000. That is like too many people. Wow. In the Old Testament, one of the prophets fed 100 people, and that was a miracle with, I think, 5 loaves of bread or something like that. But Jesus fed 5,000. He did the same miracle, but way bigger. I don't know if that's proper English, but it was a lot bigger. So it's 5,000. And he told them, send them down by hundreds and fifties. Do you know how long that took to have it done? But look at this. Look at it through a different light. It was already, if you read the story, it was already getting late. So it's time, like, they need to go home. There was no cars at that time. There was no freeways, empty. There was no the red line or the gold line that we have now. You know what I mean? That wasn't around at that time. So these people had to walk home. And there wasn't nice streets at that time. It was all dirt and hills. Okay, so instead of him sending them home, he took the fish and the bread. And he fed these people. Look, everybody sit down. I'm going to feed you. Not only that, but Jesus also had some left over. And the scripture says that they had their fill. It wasn't like he gave them a little crumb off that bit. Even if you had a loaf of bread, you couldn't feed that many people. But they had their fill. So there's a compassion there. There's a love there. So if you don't get anything out of this sermon, know that God loves you. And he's showing it by the miracles that he does. Okay, what about, let's take another one that's not in my notes, but let's take another one. What about when the people were coming out of Egypt? His people were coming out of Egypt. What about when they got to the water? How is that dad going to save them? The army's coming. That army is much bigger than the people, but slaughtered them easily. They were at the river. What is he going to do? He opens the water. He separates the water and let the people go through. But God had so much compassion on his children that he even made the land dry. They didn't go on muddy water. I mean, they would have been all right if they would have gone on muddy water. They'd get on the other side. But no, they went on dry land. They went on dry land. So, does God love you? Does God love us? Does Jesus love us? What do you think? There's so many miracles inside the Bible that tells us the love and the power of God. And it's done because of his love for us. Done only for his love for his children. He really, really does love us, no matter how terrible and rebellious we might be. Don't take advantage of God's love. Yes, God loves us, and he really does. But be careful that he doesn't take, be careful that you don't take advantage of his love. Anyway, God loves me. And you do this or you do that. You steal a car, you do this or you do that. Anyway, God loves me. Don't do that. Because just like your dad could give you a good whipping, well, God knows how to take you out to the shed and give you a good one. God knows how. How do I know that? Because he's done it to me. He's done it to me. He says, come on, little one, I'll take you out to the shed. But he does it because he loves us. He corrects us. What I'm saying is God is able to correct us. God knows how to correct us. You shouldn't have done that, but we do it anyway. So on this right here, this brings us back. Actually, this brings us back to the beginning. A father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. It comes back to the beginning that we started, is that God loves us. And that's what the Bible tells us about fathers. That fathers, as you continue to have your children, as you continue to raise your children, raise them with love, raise them that they will have respect. Respect nowadays is not in children anymore. And it should be. It's a very important thing for a child to have respect. Because if they have respect, you teach them respect, they will have respect for authority. And that will keep them away from danger. That will help keep them away from danger. It's important that we know that God loves us. And it's important that we know that God forgives us. there isn't anything you can do to for him not to love you. The same as your father. Your father will love you. He might be mad at the time or angry at the time, but he loves you. He loves you. The phone rings and you're in the hospital, he'll go. Trust me, he will go. Because he loves you. Well, God loves you very much. Actually, he loves you more than your father does. God has a different love than we have. We don't have the same love as God has. I'm not putting the fathers down, but that's just the truth. That's just the truth, that God loves us. I want to read you, actually, the sermon is too short because we've got too much time. So maybe after church we'll have to go eat somewhere or something. I don't know what's going on here. But if we got that clock right, we still got another half hour. Should we order the burritos next door? We can go and eat or something. I don't know what's going on. But look, let me take you to I went to Job. Wait, hold on. It's only three verses. Blesses the man hanging around with good people. It's very important because you can't take him to church on Sunday and then you hang around with the devil all week long. Because they're going to remember where you were hanging out. That it's so important. Ungodly, nor strained in the ways of sinners. Like I said, you gotta be careful where you are. You gotta be careful what you do. When you teach your children, teach them with who you are and what you do, as in showing them this is the way you do it. I went to the store and I found this, or they didn't charge me for this. I went back and I paid for it. The children will remember that. And I say, man, I have a dumb dad. He didn't get away with it. No. But he has integrity. Integrity is something that is not around anymore. And it's okay for you to walk with integrity. It's actually very good. But his delight is in the laws of the Lord. And in his laws does he meditate day and night. It's important for your child to see you reading the Bible. It's okay if your child sees you praying. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And he shall, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringing forth the fruit for that season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. So, whatever you do will prosper as you continue to walk with God. I'm kind of pointing this a lot towards the fathers, but you know what? We can take a little bit of this. Because our children also see us. If you're a father, you're a mother, you're a sister, you're a brother, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, it doesn't make any difference. The children see who you are. They see you. And they will remember that you prayed. They will remember who you are. They will remember who you stand for. Not only on Sunday. On Sunday, we all can get dressed up and look good. Come in, we're really sharp. We come in and, you know what I mean, we're holy. On Sunday for, what, an hour and a half? And then afterwards, we're not. Be careful with that. You're playing with fire. And you will reap it. You will reap it. I think they call it karma now, but like I'm from the ghetto, what goes around comes around. You know, it's a little bit different, but it's the same thing. Whatever you reap, you sow. Whatever you sow, you reap. If I put a seed down and it's corn, I'm going to reap corn. I'm not going to reap carrots. It won't happen. It won't happen. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. So you have to plant good in your life. You got to plant. You got to pray. The kids see you pray, hey, they'll get down and they'll pray too. They'll get down and they'll pray too. You show them to be sensitive to God. They'll be sensitive to God. Show your children. It's important. I think there's Father's Day only in June in this world. Well, in the United States. But I think a Father's Day message should be probably preached maybe 4 times in the whole year. To remind the fathers, but also to remind the older teenagers and the young adults that are going to be fathers, so they can remember that. That office is a very strong office. You become a father, God's gonna write that down. He's watching you because he's going to hand you a child. What are you going to do with that child? What are you planning on doing with this child? You're planning on showing that child the right way to go? Are you planning on teaching that child? Are you planning on getting your life together because that child's going to see your life? What are you doing? That's a really strong hat to put on. So, in all that, I want to pray for the fathers. Father God, Lord, I pray, Father God, as fathers, it's Father's Day, Lord. But Lord God, even as mothers, as aunts, as uncles, Lord God, help us to understand, Lord God, that the children around us that see us, Lord God, they will reflect, Lord God. They will see who we are, my Father God. Lord God, I pray, Father God, right now, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to seek your face, Lord God. Help us to talk about you, Lord God. Lord God, in the Old Testament, you warned the Israelites to put the word of God even on the lampposts, on the doorsteps, everywhere, that the children will know about you, Father God, and the miracles and the things that you've done, Lord God. Lord God, we ask, Father God, that you help us, Lord. Help us all to be better, Lord God. Better so, Lord God, our reflection will reflect you, Lord God. Whether we're a dad or whether we're a mom or whether we're an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or grandpa, it don't make any difference, Lord God. But Lord God, help us reflect you, Father God. Lord God, help us, Father God. Give us love, give us compassion, Lord God, for our children and those that are around us, my Father. Lord, I just ask this, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, while I was talking, I ordered the burritos, okay? That's not true. That's a lie. I just finished saying we gotta be good, and then here I go. But let's see, do we have another song? We have one more song. Come on. We did this a little bit too early, but that's all right. There's a lot, we got a lot of cookies, a lot of stuff. We'll sit down and have a cup of coffee. How's that? Okay, we'll just break the day. Sorry.